We're going to get ready to go into the Word. And I'm going to try to finish and get across to you and tell you everything that I feel in my heart I need to. Actually, I intended to begin this, to start this past Wednesday. Well, that didn't happen, so amen. Glory to God. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So we'll go ahead and jump in. Do you have your Bibles? Amen. I said, do you have your Bibles? Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I love the Word of God. I hope you do too. Yeah. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you, Father, for everyone that's gathered here this morning. And we've gathered here, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and no other name but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father God, that every person under the sound of my voice will have ears to hear and have a heart to receive the living, powerful, everlasting Word of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for your anointing upon me to minister your word, and I'll never take it for granted. And I thank you, Father, for trusting me. I count that in honor. Your word is precious. Hallelujah. Your word is precious. So, Father, we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, everyone say it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Turn in your Bibles. I have a lot of scripture references. I have a lot of scripture references. So we'll see how we do this. Glory to God. Amen. I don't know. I may solicit some help, but we'll see how it goes. All right. Amen. But turn in your Bibles to 1 John, the first epistle of John, the third chapter. First epistle of John, the third chapter. Or you might say 1 Little John 3. Hallelujah. Drop down to verse 16. And it says, by this we know love. By this we know love. Now, I don't really have the time to read the entire chapter, but you can certainly do that in your spare time as well. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Amen. He laid down his life for us because he loved us. And he proved it by laying his life down. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you go back to the Gospel of John, matter of fact, chapter 3, verse 16, says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. So I'm going to title this morning, Love Beyond Measure. Love beyond measure. Now, turn to the book of Hebrews, the second chapter. Hebrews, the second chapter. And we're going to just jump right in and hallelujah. And I'm just going, what I'm going to do, I'm going to begin reading at verse 1. But actually, this message this morning is almost a verse-by-verse message. Not exactly, but it's almost a verse-by-verse message. But we'll be skipping around in some areas. But in Hebrews, the second chapter, I'll begin reading. It says that at verse 1, therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Now, I'm reading from the New King James Bible. For if the word spoken through angels provided steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Now, take a look at verse 5. Now, y'all stay with me on this. This is good stuff. Praise God. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. You see that? Let me read it again so you get it. For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him? Or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. Glory be to God. Now, the writer here is asking a question. What is it about man, God? Why do you think about him so much? And when I say man, we're talking about the human race. We're talking about mankind, not just the male species, but we're talking about mankind, male and female. And the writer is asking, what is it about man that you love so much? Why do you think about him the way you do? As a matter of fact, we're going to take the time to do it. Kathy, what Bible do you have? What version? Hallelujah. Okay. Anyone in here that's not bashful and you have a New King James version of the Bible, or you might have it on your tablet, can you pull it up real quick? Well, go ahead and pull it up on your cell phone real quick. All right. Let me know when you get it. But now this is the question being asked. What is this man that you are so mindful of him? All righty? No, I didn't tell you where to go. Psalm 8, the 8th Psalm. I apologize for that. Amen. Do you have the New King James? Yeah. You have Psalm 8? All right. Begin reading. Listen to this, folks.
Hallelujah. All the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers,
oh, think about it.
The moon and the stars, which you have ordained.
Hallelujah.
What is man that you are mindful of him?
Stop right there just a moment. Now, the writer is saying, Lord, you created the heavens. You created the stars. Everything that is, you created it. This vast, vast, vast universe that we live in. And man haven't even come close to discovering everything that's out there. Frankly, I don't believe they ever will. Because God is so big. But yet the very same God that created this vast universe, and the writer is saying, Lord, you created all that. Now read that verse again.
What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him?
Stop. Don't lose your place. Stop right there just a moment. Now, some of you, and some of you that's watching too, you look in the mirror at yourself and you say, I'm not worth 2 cents. Some of you even think that life is not worth living anymore. I beg to differ. Life is worth living. I don't care what you're dealing with. I know things can be bad, things can be horrible, but God gave you life. And he knows where you are, and he knows how to deliver you. He knows how to get to you. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord. The God that created this vast universe that we live in. As they say, he have every hair on your head numbered. There's nothing that gets by him. Go ahead and read. Yes, go ahead.
For you have made him a little more than the angels.
Mm-hmm.
And you have crowned him with the glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands.
Hallelujah.
You have put all things under his feet.
Now stop right there. Stop right there. And now the writer of Hebrews is saying the same thing here in chapter 2. He's saying, Lord, you've made man, and then you put him in charge. Now, let's go back to Genesis. Just hold your place there for a moment. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. Matter of fact, let me go there real quick, because I want to read something to you. The very first chapter of Genesis. Trying to get there quick. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. It says, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion. You see that? Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth. You see that? Over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. You notice that? He created him male and female. He created them. Hallelujah. Now, you know, I'm going to say something. I believe that God is so focused on the earth, and mankind, well, I know this to be a fact because the Word of God says it is, that he created us in his image, and he created us in the image of God himself. And it's because of the way we are created, it's because of the way that we are made, that we get God's attention. Unless I'm proven wrong, I don't believe there's any other creatures in this vast universe that's created in the image of God. Now, that's James talking, but you can't prove me wrong. And when you can, I'll accept that I'm wrong. But the Word of God said we're created in his image, in the image of God. We're created. That means you. Look at yourself. Point at yourself. Say, that means me. I say it again, that means me. Hallelujah. Tell yourself, I am worth something. Because I'm created in the image of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So that's the reason that we got God's attention, because we are his special creation. Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Go ahead, read.
All sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent.
Oh, glory.
Is your name.
Hallelujah.
And all the earth. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent
yes.
is your name.
Hallelujah.
In all the earth.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Are you still with me?
Amen.
All right. Now, that's the eighth psalm. Now, I'm going to pick it up again at verse 8 in Hebrews, second chapter. Well, let me pick it up at verse 6, and we just heard it in Psalm 8. But one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, and set him over the works of your hands. You have put all things in subjection under his feet. You see that? I said, do you see that?
Amen.
Amen. Now let's read on. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he has left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. You still with me? Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Well, why is that? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 tells us the reason for that. The God of this world. Let me back up. You know the story. Most of you do. God created his man and his woman, and he created them perfect. There was nothing imperfect about them. They were perfect in every way because God does all things well. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. And a matter of fact, and you've heard me say this, and I'll say it again. Once God created all the cattle and everything to be created, and he created man and woman, but before that, it would say God would step back and look, and he'd look at his what he created, he'd say, and it was good. And he'd create something else, he'd step back and look at it, it was good. And then something else, it was good. But glory be to God, once man got on the earth, God stepped back again and looked and said, it's very good. Oh, yeah. Oh, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Y'all still with me? Amen. I'm having fun. I hope you are too. Bless the name of the Lord. All right. So Adam sold out. He had everything perfect, but he sold out to the devil. Amen. He sold out to the devil. And 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4 tells us that Satan is now the god of this world. Amen. And he's blinding the minds of people and keeping them from seeing the truth of the gospel. Matter of fact, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, put it on the screen for me, please, real quick. 2 Corinthians 4, 4. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All righty. It says, whose mind the God, now notice the G on there. Anybody notice anything different about that G? Yes, the little G. It's not the capital G, because it's not talking about God Almighty. Whose mind the God of this age has blinded, I tell you what, back it up to verse 3, please, and then we'll read on into verse 4. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 4, 3. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4, 3. Now, look at this. It says, but even if our gospel is veiled, in other words, you preach the gospel, but folk don't get it. I mean, sometimes you can preach and preach and teach and teach and teach and preach and preach and teach and teach and preach and preach and teach, and some folks still don't get it. There's a reason they don't get it. Come on. If somebody walked up to you that you had confidence in, you trusted this individual, and they told you that, brother, sister, I was praying last night, and I was spending time with God last night, and he spoke to me, and he told me to give you $10,000 because you needed it. But you, if they brought that to you, and they say God told him to give it to you, well, it don't matter. Most folks wouldn't care whether God told them or not. $10,000, they're going to take it. They're not even going to ask where it come from. How'd you get that money? No. But let me tell you, folk don't question that. Well, come on, $10,000 would be a blessing, wouldn't it? Amen. Amen. But God's given us a greater blessing. Y'all listen to me. He's given us a greater blessing. But the devil, everybody say the devil. Amen. The devil is trying to veil the gospel, to keep it from clearly being seen. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are what? Perishing. Now, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 4. Whose mind, it's talking about those who are perishing, whose mind the what? God of this age has blinded. Who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Hallelujah. Some folks not getting it. And that's what the devil's doing. Blinding people's minds. Are you still here? Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. Now, got to move on. Let's read on. I'm going to read verse 8 again, then we're going to go on into verse 9. You have put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection unto him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Oh, glory be to God. I want you to know, that's the reason that we're celebrating this Resurrection Sunday today, because Jesus tasted death. You notice what it says? For? Did y'all get it? For everyone. For everyone. Those that believe and those that don't. Jesus died for everybody. Now, I find it mighty interesting . Let me read verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, who suffered, who for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. And that's what he did. But I want you to notice something. Hebrews 2:9, put it back on the screen. I want to point out something to you. Please pay attention to this. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Everybody, say everyone.
Everyone.
Now, verse 10. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory. I don't know if you caught that. In verse 9, it says he tasted death for everyone. In verse 10, it says, for it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many. Many is not everyone. Jesus died for everyone. But not everyone's going to receive him. Real quick, guys upstairs, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12, real quick. Glory to God. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 12. Back up to verse 11. We'll get there. I'll see where I want to start. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Now verse 12. He came into his own did not receive him. But look at this. But as what? What?
Many.
But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. Jesus died for everyone. Everyone have an opportunity. That's the reason we got to continuously preach the gospel around the world, so that folks can hear the good news of the gospel. And the good news of the gospel is that Jesus came to this earth. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross, but he rose again the third day. And our sins was placed on that cross with him. Went to the grave with him. And some folks say, well, if my sins was placed on him, then, you know, I'm automatically saved. No, you're not. Because we just read it. One example right here. To as many as receive him. And see, you have to understand, again, listen to me real close. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me too, but I'm talking about you. We are created in the image and likeness of God, as it says in 1 Genesis chapter 1. Well, one thing that's unique about folk that's created in God's image is that they have the freedom and the authority to make up their own mind, to make their own decisions. We can choose to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and walk with him, or we can choose to reject him and go our own way. The choice is ours. But I'm here to tell you, choosing to receive him and walk with him is a much better deal. Hallelujah. It's a much better deal. Matter of fact, I can't even put words to it. You're still here. Glory to God. So verse 10 again, I'm back at Hebrews 2 now. It was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom all things, to bring many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Ooh, hallelujah. Now think about it for a moment. I'm not in the same class. No, let me say it this way. The animal world, dogs, cats, cows, chickens, birds, horses, and etc., they're not in the same class as I am, and you either. They're not even in the same class as us. We created in his image and his likeness. Jesus says to those that receive him as Lord and Savior, that accepts eternal life, he says, now I call them brethren. Are you ready for this? We have the same Father that Jesus had. Whoa, glory. Listen, we have just as much right to call him Father as Jesus does. And Jesus says, I am not ashamed to call them my brothers or sisters. Think about that. Yes, Jesus is Lord of all. He purchased our salvation. Thank God for his shed blood. But that blood that he shed was shed for me. And it was shed for you. And it brought me and it brought you into the family of God. Not only is Jesus our Lord, he's also, I like to say it this way, he's also our elder brother, the first resurrected from the dead. He's our elder brother. We in his family. We in his family. I tell you what, yes, we're in the earth right now. We're in our earthen body. But I want to let you know, they know who I am in heaven. If you're born again, they know who you are in heaven. Amen. You have a citizenship right there in heaven. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. I'm one of God's children. How about you? I tell you what, when the devil's trying to beat you up, you need to let yourself know, I am God's child. And then you need to go ahead and tell him, I am God's child. The Spirit of the living God is living on the inside of me, and because the Spirit of the living God is living on the inside of me, that gives me authority over you, devil. Now get out of my face. Hallelujah. Whew, y'all still here? I'm trying to get this. We got to have communion. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to read verse 11 from the New Living Translation. It says, for both he who sanctifies, that's Jesus, and those who are being sanctified are all one. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, verse 12, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Ah, glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And I'm about to wind this up. Thank you, Lord. Look at verse 14. Inasmuch then, as the children have partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is who? Who? Oh, hallelujah. There's a song that they sing sometime. I don't remember the title of the song, but it goes something like this. I hope I'm getting it right. Talking to the devil, it says, the hold that you had on me, you don't have no more. You listening? The hold that you used to have on me, you don't have it no more. The bondage that I used to walk in, I don't walk in that no more. Because I am a child of God, and I know my rights as a child of God. When you are a child of the King, you have rights, and you have been given authority to rule over losers. I said to rule over losers. Well, Pastor, who is a loser? The devil. He fought a good fight, but he lost. He deceived one third of the angels, but he lost. Hallelujah. He's mad about it. We all know that. He's mad about it, but he still lost. And we are children of God. The Spirit, I can't say it enough, the Spirit of God is living on the inside of us. We need to be conscious of that. You ever get frustrated at yourself sometimes? Just let yourself know, I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God, and my God's helping me. and start praying wisdom over yourself, like Ephesians chapter 1. We won't go there for the sake of time. But Lord, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. My eyes being understanding that I may know, and it goes on and on and on. Hallelujah. How many winners am I looking at out here? Oh, glory to God. Amen. Amen. I'm not even asking for losers. Because you should be winning. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Woo! I want to read you one other verse, and then we're going to quit. Matter of fact, guys, you guys can come on back up. 1 John, again, this goes right along with Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. This is 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Well, I'll begin. I'll read it beginning at verse 7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Now look at this. You ready for this? For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might do what? That he might destroy the works of the devil. Jesus came. He lived on this earth. 33 years. He died on the cross. Now, let me say this to you. All during Jesus' ministry, they tried to kill him. They tried to trick him, but none of that stuff worked. Because Jesus made a declaration himself. He says, I'm sort of paraphrasing here. He said, but I will not die until my time comes. They could not capture him. They could not kill him before his time came. And even then, they came after him. Told him, we're looking for Jesus. And when he said, I am he, what happened? They fell to the ground. Hallelujah. He could have called thousands of angels, and they would have came just like that and rescued him. But he chose to die for us. But thank God he rose again. And that's what we're celebrating today, and I celebrate it every day. He is alive. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? And he did it all for us. What is man? God, what is man to you? Why do you give us so much attention? It's because we were worth dying for. We were worth dying for. You were worth dying for. You were worth dying for. I will begin with our viewing audience. I want to say this to you again, you were worth dying for. Jesus died for you, and he rose again with victory in his hand. I want to invite you right now to receive Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life as your Lord and as your Savior. He loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you. He rose again, and He's waiting on you now to say yes to Him. To say yes, Lord Jesus. To say, come into my heart. Come into my life. I make you Lord over my life. Come on, say this after me. If you're receiving Jesus Christ in your heart as your Lord and Savior, say, Lord Jesus, I receive you into my heart as my Lord and as my Savior. Forgive me for all of my sins. I give you my life. Lead me, Lord. Guide me every day of my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming in, saving me, and setting me free. Glory to God. You prayed that prayer of faith with me and invited Jesus into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. He came in. He became a part of your life. And He dwells on the inside of you. Your body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit where He dwells. And I want to encourage you right now, wherever you may be, to find a good church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God, and get hooked up in there and serve the Lord and walk with Him. Let me pray for you. Father, every person right now,